Oh, it got to be one of the great golf movies of all time, Caddyshack. I tell you what, it's a good introduction to our segment coming up right now, because spring is a great time to get out on a golf course. And today we're talking about the public courses in Wisconsin. Great to have Rob Jansen with us again. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. Rob's going to tell us about affordable golf courses worth visiting right here in the state. Plus, we'll cover the big national championships coming to our state and talk a bit about what's going on in the Wisconsin State Golf Association. So I hope you'll join in. What are the courses that you like to visit, the public courses in our state? What makes them great places to golf? Let us know which courses are on your bucket list. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Rob Jansen, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. Great to be back talking some golf with you today.
Yeah. Golf Digest just recently listed Wisconsin as the top state in the nation for public golf courses, which is an honor, believe me. What makes Wisconsin a quality state for public play?
Yeah, I think with that list specifically, it's focusing more on, I'd say, the high-end public golf courses that are nationally ranked, and people are traveling to Wisconsin to get the chance to play and check off their bucket list. I know we'll talk about some more affordable golf options today as well, which also is what makes Wisconsin such a great state for public golf. But we really have it at all ends of the spectrum. We have the best of the best in terms of high-end public golf, and we have great affordable public golf options spread out all throughout the state. So I'll put up our golf against any state in the country any day.
Yeah. I looked at that list. We have 10 courses, including the number 4 public course in the nation, Whistling Straits, but we have 10 in the top 100, which is, that's a lot of courses to make in the top 100. There's a lot of courses.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's kind of a remarkable story that we have 10 of the top 100. That's 10% of the list right here, Larry, in Wisconsin. Obviously not playing golf year-round either, so it makes it a little harder, or you'd think it would make it harder to attract golf development and people to come and want to build and create these spectacular courses here. But in our case, it hasn't been a detriment at all, and we're fortunate to have some of the greatest public golf anywhere in the country and really anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I played 6 of the 10, so I haven't gotten to all of them. I haven't been up to Sand Valley yet to play those courses, and I haven't played the Bull yet for some reason. I'm not sure why. I just didn't get around to it. But those are absolutely fantastic courses. But I also, last night, Rob, I sat down. I had the list of all of the golf courses, towns in the state or cities in the state with golf courses, and I thought, I'm going to check and see how many of these I've played. So I spent some time going through that whole list, and I'm sure of these. And there may be a couple or three that I just missed, but I have played 56 courses in Wisconsin. And if you put a pin on the map, it was from the bottom of the state to the top of the state, and pretty much all through the state, I've been able to play some wonderful public courses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good number. I think you've got me beat there. I can't say I've played 56 different courses in the state yet myself. So I've got to get to work here a little bit.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's like right around only 9% or so, or maybe 10% of all the golf courses we have in the state.
Yeah, pretty close to 10. We've got about 500. courses. That includes private courses as well. But in terms of total courses and facilities, the number's right around 500. So, yeah, to hit 10% of the list is no small feat there.
Yeah. So I think it's worth mentioning or talking about the Wisconsin State Golf Association itself. You're the executive director. What's its purpose?
Yeah, so we're a 501c6 nonprofit. Our mission's pretty simple: to promote golf in Wisconsin. Pretty broad, and allows us to do that in a variety of different ways. We provide services directly to golf courses. We'll visit courses, measure them, rate them, help educate them on the rules of golf, the rules of the handicap system, to track kind of your golf ability and allow players to compete against others, even if they're at different skill levels. And then we provide services to individual golfers. We provide those official USGA handicap indexes to golfers. We provide golf competitive tournaments for players of all skill levels all across the state at great golf courses in all parts of Wisconsin, which is a lot of fun. We publish a golf directory, a nice print piece that lists all the great courses in our state and where you can find them, a little bit of information about them. So if it's promoting golf in Wisconsin, I'd say we're probably doing it, or you know, want to start doing it.
And if I'm not mistaken, you get into things like integrated pest management and maybe community engagement.
Yeah, we work closely with the Golf Course Superintendents Association. That's more their wheelhouse when it comes to creating best management practices for, for running and managing the courses and the agronomy side of things. We do a lot with junior golf and youth development, and we're looking to get more involved in adaptive golf here in the not too distant future for golfers with various disabilities or limb loss, things like that. We want to make sure that all are welcome to play this great game.
Yeah, it is a great game to play. I pretty much walk most of the time. Unless I have to ride, your 18 holes is a pretty good 6 mile walk.
Yeah, it's a great walk. I know you were just talking a little bit about running, but I'd say golf's one of the best walks out there to get your steps in. Do it in a mostly enjoyable way. Not all shots are fun, I wouldn't say. There's certainly some frustration along the way, but I think that's part of what makes golf great.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that easy. The shots that don't go too well make the shots that go great all that much sweeter. But I'm with you. I love to walk. It's great exercise. Great to be outside and just take in the sights and sounds. I've even done some different fundraisers for our foundation, specifically our Youth on Course program, which provides $5 rounds of golf for junior golfers at participating courses all throughout the state. So to raise some awareness and funds for that program, I walked and played 100 holes of golf in a single day. So that's a lot of golf. That's a lot of steps, a lot of walking, maybe a little bit of running mixed in there too. But it's always fun to push myself and try to do stuff like that occasionally too.
Yeah, I did 72 holes 2 days in a row, which is... that was a long time ago.
Yeah, wow. What was that for?
That was for the fun of it with a good friend of mine, Don Rathman.
Okay.
And we had the opportunity to do it, so we did it 150 holes and or 144 holes and whatever it was in 2 days. And I couldn't do that. I don't think I'd be able to do that without a cart, for sure. This day and stage of my life anyway.
Yep.
Samantha called, couldn't stay with us. She wants to recommend golf courses in Ettrick, Whitehall, and Arcadia.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's, I was putting a little thought into some great affordable options throughout the state, and honestly, it's hard to find golf courses throughout the state that aren't affordable. So depending on what part of the state you live in, chances are, if you just look at the courses within 10, 15 minutes of where you live, they're all going to be pretty great, affordable options, you know, for you to go check out and support.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. This last week, I played a course on Friday afternoon, later in the afternoon, just 9 holes at Monona. And that was $16, I think, to play. And then I played 18 holes, walked 18 holes on Sunday afternoon, and it was $32 or $3, something like that.
Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, those are great values there, and I think you get a pretty good bang for your buck. If you're playing 9 holes, I'd say that's 2 pretty good hours of entertainment, and playing 18 holes, you get double the fun there. Have you been able to check out the Glen Golf Park that was recently renovated and updated?
I have, and it is a wonderful, wonderful course. It's just a it's such a nice, they did such a wonderful job with it. And I assume you've had a chance to play it.
I haven't. Yeah, I've seen it, but was not a day I was able to play it. So definitely have to get back to the Madison area to play that one myself.
Yeah, and we've got. Oh, we got Marty in Madison. Marty, hold on. We're going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Marty and with Rob Jansen and with your calls. Give us a jingle. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. And we'll be back right after this quick look at the news. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you with us on Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here as we talk golf and golf courses in Wisconsin with our guest, Rob Jansen. Rob's the executive director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. So where do you golf? Maybe to get the best value or to have the best time? What courses are best this time of the year? Tell us why you love golf. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Marty's been waiting from in Madison. Let's go right to Marty. Thank you for calling, Marty, and thanks for waiting.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. There's two courses that, for me, it's the putting. And one of the courses is affordable. It's Evergreen Golf Course in Elkhorn. It's 3 9 holes, but it's whoever does the greens is a genius. No matter, I have never been on this course where the greens weren't immaculate and rolled true. Friday nights, they've got a live band out back. If it's 50, 60 degrees on a day in December, they're one of the only courses I've found that is open as long as there's no snow on the ground. And the other one is on the other end of the economic scale, but Lac La Belle. I've never seen any greens on any course like this place. You've got to be a mathematician and a genius to figure out speed and slope. And it's just crazy great.
Marty, thanks for calling. So we got the Elkhorn and Lac La Belle. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I haven't been to Evergreen myself, but I have been to Lac La Belle last year. The course was bought by new ownership a few years ago, and they did some unbelievable renovations to the club. And yeah, definitely a great course to check out. Some really fun, interesting green complexes, like Marty mentioned. Some holes and greens you'll look at and be like, wow, that, how did they even do that? And get to watch your golf ball do some pretty fun things while you're out there too. But a great clubhouse, a lot of history, one of the oldest golf courses in Wisconsin, and just a fantastic experience, I would say, there.
Well, let's talk about course. What are some of your favorite courses to play in the state?
It's so hard. It's so hard to pick. There's so many good ones. It really just depends on, what's going on or when I have the chance to play and who I'm playing with. But our offices are in West Allis. There's a great Milwaukee County park system of golf courses, yeah, including one we could walk to, Greenfield Park, which is a fun 18-hole course, always in good condition, very playable, very walkable. I don't know, unless you have health issues or need to take a cart, I'd say absolutely walk that course. It's an enjoyable way to check it out. We'll go out there, as a staff occasionally and pop over there. It's so close and such a fun time and a fantastic value as well. It's always fun to check out. I went to La Clavel to check it out post-renovation just to see the changes they'd made and get to experience the new course and design, which was a lot of fun. And we talked about some of the heavy hitters on the Golf Digest list. Those are always a treat to play and certainly some of my favorites, which is with as good as those courses are and, some of the settings and topography of some of those courses is just hard to beat, which is why they get the recognition and rankings that they do. I know you said you haven't been up to Sand Valley yet, but talk about a place that just keeps building some fantastic golf courses and adding more and more golf courses. They're opening another one up this summer, which I'm excited to go check out, called Sedge Valley, which will open for play on July 1st. But I've played the other courses up there, Sand Valley, the original course, Mammoth Dunes. They have a 17-hole par 3 course called the Sandbox, which is just a ton of fun to play. So just too many to name and narrow down the list, but I never have a bad time on the golf course. It really doesn't matter where I'm playing. If it's a beautiful day with good company, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah, that's my story, too. Jim and Camp Douglas, we'll go to you. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, I'm a member at Castle Rock here down by Mauston, Wisconsin. And being a member, we're entitled to about 20 reciprocal courses. And what you end up doing is paying essentially for the cart, and then you get to play the other courses. But one other thing, too, I'm playing with a gentleman who at one time was a upper echelon staff member of the WSGA, Dick Rohlig. I was just wondering if you heard of him, know him, or remember him. And I'll take your comments offline. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling.
I have heard the name. Not somebody I ever had a chance to spend any time with, unfortunately.
He did bring up an interesting point. There are some memberships there. All right, you can become a member of a golf course and, that might bring visions of a lot of money, but there are many courses where you can become a member, and then you get the opportunity to play other courses for, that are part of this grouping, I guess, that allow you to play for essentially about half price.
Yeah, really helps you get more bang for your buck. And I do think a lot of people associate a golf membership with maybe a private facility, which is going to be quite expensive. But most public facilities offer some type of membership or loyalty program, which can help your golf get even more affordable or provide you unlimited access to the course for a relatively low flat fee. And if you plan to play a lot of golf, it's certainly going to be worth your while. If you're not sure about how many rounds you might be able to get in, maybe some other options are going to be a better fit for you, to play when you can and get the best deal that you can at the time.
Someone else is wondering, how are golf courses in Wisconsin trying to attract people to the sport? Interesting question.
Yeah, it hasn't been too hard these last couple of years. Golf in Wisconsin and across the country really has been booming kind of post-COVID as people gravitated to outdoor and safe recreation activities, and a lot of people that played golf in the past maybe returned to the game and started taking it up a little bit more. Otherwise, I think it's just been the culmination of a lot of great programs that have been in place and junior golf efforts to showcase the game to kids as they're growing up. And I mentioned our Youth on Course program, another way we're attracting more new and younger customers to courses and making sure it's affordable for them to go out and get a chance to play. But, with as good of a spot golf is in nationally and in the state right now, the short answer is courses aren't having to do that much to attract new golfers or any golfers to their course. You're seeing a lot of full tee sheets, and it can be a challenge to get tee times if you're not planning ahead and having some flexibility with your schedule. That's certainly not going to last forever, so I think most courses are taking hopefully a measured approach and still preparing for the future when they might have to do a little bit more and work a little bit harder to attract golfers to their facility.
Yeah. I'm a member, a life member, actually, of the First Tee program. And I don't know if the WSGA does much with that First Tee program. But my daughter, Emily, went through that, I think, starting, she was 8, I think, when she started in that program. And it's very affordable or free opportunity for kids to learn all aspects of golf.
Absolutely. Our office, I mentioned we're in West Dallas. We share office space with a few other golf associations, the Wisconsin PGA, and also the First Tee of Southeast Wisconsin, which is kind of the local chapter for this area. There's other First Tee chapters throughout Wisconsin doing similar things and similar programming to bring kids into the game. But, yeah, great programs if anyone has kids looking to get started in the game or maybe don't know where to start or just looking for a new activity to try. Definitely check out the First Tee in your area. Look at their summer camps and programs that they have. They're not only teaching golf, they're teaching great life skills that these kids are going to carry forward with them, hopefully for the rest of their lives as well. My kids are getting to that age where they're starting to get a little bit more interested in golf, which is fun. So we'll certainly be checking out some programs. And our next door neighbor is doing one of the First Tee programs here locally as well. So good to see a lot of people taking advantage of what's out there.
Yeah. How do you find, John, here's another question. How do you find equipment? You're just getting started sort of for discounted rates.
Good question. I mean, a lot of answers depending on what exactly somebody's, looking for. A lot of the, big box retailers have a used club section where they'll have sets that were traded in from somebody who came in to buy a new set of the latest and greatest technology. So that's always a good place to start. If you're in the Milwaukee area, our First Tee chapter here I mentioned accepts club donations. They kind of get the clubs kind of cleaned up and put sets together and offer those for resale, which is a great, really affordable option for people to get started. Can always check out the internet too, or eBay, for deals and discounts that might be out there if somebody's looking for something more specific, or even brand new sets. There's lots of very affordable, you know, nice newer sets that somebody could get for, you know, a pretty reasonable price for some clubs, a bag, and everything you need to at least get started.
Have you got, here's another question from Cora. Do you have, could you give a list of, you know, budget courses or courses around the state that may, you know, be for those who are budget-minded?
I would typically recommend to start with the municipal golf courses in the area. Like I mentioned, Milwaukee County Parks have a great system. I know you mentioned playing some of the Madison City courses. And, you know, those are typically going to be some of the best, well-maintained, affordable courses in your area. I'd also recommend people to check out our website at wsj.org. We have a courses section that offers an interactive map where you can zoom in and look at different parts of the state and click the little pins and icons to learn a little bit more about a golf course or check out their website. Just a few different ways to maybe find some hidden gems out there that might not even require too much travel.
I was thinking about a course outside of Madison, a Riverside Golf Course in Janesville, which to me has got to be one of the hidden treasures of the state, especially, and not only it's a pretty course, but also the rates, it's like $30 to play 18 holes there, and it is really a nice course for the money, for sure.
Yeah, they're a frequent host of some of our WSGA tournaments that we run. They host an annual competition for the best amateurs in the state called the Ray Fisher. And players just love going down there and playing. It's not long by modern standards, so no. You typically are going to see some low scores when the best amateurs in the state get out there to play. But they love it. They love the course. And definitely worth checking out for anyone who gets down to the Janesville area.
Yeah, at my age, length has become an issue, so I enjoy courses like that.
Yep.
as a matter of fact. Oh, my gosh. I had a chance to see a golf documentary called The Dream Loop that you helped produce, and I really enjoyed watching that. You put together a schedule for a couple of guys, DJ and Stefan, to play Wisconsin's top 10 public courses in just 2 days.
Yeah, actually, we did it in just under 40 hours, which I think is pretty incredible. If there was a Guinness World Record for something like this, this would have to be it. And I don't know how you could beat playing 10 different courses, all ranked in the top 100 in the country, all in the span of 40 hours. And they were playing real golf. I mean, hitting the shots. They're putting out. You know, they pick up occasionally having a bad hole, but you know, it wasn't just, hey, let's go to this course, play a couple holes to say we did it and go to the next. They played every hole at every course. It was just a fun way we thought of to highlight the great golf we have, how close and convenient it is together as you're building out a golf trip. And how we set it up, day one, we've got four courses in Kohler, the two at Whistling Straits, two at Black Wolf Run, plus the Bull, which is just 10 minutes away. So five really fantastic golf courses that you could drop a blanket over, really, when looking at the map. So that was the first day of the trip. The second day of the trip was a lot more difficult. We started playing Mammoth Dunes in Sand Valley at the Sand Valley Resort. Had to walk both those courses because they're walking only facilities. So definitely was some
running,
some fast
involved.
Walking, some jogging, and a few times where I'd say a full blown sprint down some of the big hills there. Then had to hop in our minivan and drive up to Century World. Got to play pretty fast around there and carts. It was a day the course was closed for maintenance, which made the whole thing possible. And then back in the car and drove to Lasonia, played the Lynx course, and then back in the car, another hour or so drive to Erin Hills to finish 10 courses in under 40 hours, and had to walk Erin Hills. So that's a good walk to finish 10 courses in 2 days right there. But, yeah, we had a videographer with us for the trip and captured some great footage. We weren't sure what the finished product was going to look like, but it turned into a pretty cool 60-minute documentary that we did in conjunction with No Laying Up, which is a really popular golf media company that's out there. You can view the Dream Loop on their YouTube channel at No Laying Up, or youtube.com/No Laying Up, or just type it into Google to find it pretty easily. But a lot of fun to put together and just kind of share all these great courses and kind of a fun, unique way, instead of just showing some you know, some golf course shots of all 10, which some people might like, but we thought this would be a little bit more engaging to put together to tell the Wisconsin golf story.
Yeah, they were starting pretty early in the morning.
Very early, yeah. Those are some early wake-up calls. Only got about 3 hours of sleep between the 2 days. That was probably the biggest challenge, just working on very little sleep and a lot of physical activity. And to drive from kind of that colder area across the state over to Sand Valley was, you know, about a two-hour drive kind of in darkness. And I was the driver, so I got no sleep. And I was wide awake. I was in great spirits and all that. But a few of the guys were able to get a few power naps in there before we got close to Sand Valley and got some sleep and got back up and did it again.
Well, I'm looking forward to playing those Sand Valley courses. I all the Kohler, you know, the four up there, I've played all those. But Wisconsin, oh, by the way, Bill just emailed. He says, great show today. He just counted over 75 courses that he played in Wisconsin. He likes Nagawaki and Waukesha, in Waukesha is his favorite. Oh, that's a lot of courses. We've got several national championship championships coming. We got the 2025 U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills. And that's a long course and a challenging course to play, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hosted the U.S. Open, so it's long enough and hard enough to test the best golfers in the world. This will be a championship to test the, you know, the best women from around the world on, you know, a great golf course. It'll be set up a little differently, a little shorter, but still be a fantastic test for those golfers next year. It's always exciting when the big national championships come to Wisconsin. We've had a great run over the last 10-15 years of some big time championships, the PGA Championship, US Opens, Ryder Cups. It's all been here. So that's another great part about Wisconsin. You can play some really great courses, but they also have great history. You've seen them on TV. You've seen the biggest events in the world played at these courses. And, you know, that next chapter gets written next year at Erin Hills with the U.S. Women's Open, which is exciting.
And we just got a minute left, but a listener wondered about courses. They take up a lot of acreage. Many use pesticides. What do you think about that? And by the way, we'll be talking about that on tomorrow's program a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a fair question. You know, I'd go back to our relationship with the Golf Course Superintendents Association. They've done some fantastic work and research when it comes to, you know, that specific question. They put together an extensive best practices manual for courses around the state that probably covers every single topic you could think of, you know, to minimize the impact to the environment, you know, make sure that, you know, that land is, you know, is being protected and cared for appropriately and, you know, maintaining it for the enjoyment of, you know, golfers and non-golfers in a lot of cases around the state.
Yeah.
And doing a lot of good, so.
Always a pleasure, Rob. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it. Rob Jansen. Yep. Yeah, Rob Jansen, executive director of the Wisconsin State Golf Association. And we will be talking about some golf courses, transforming them into sanctuaries that wild animals can enjoy. Stay with us. Lots in store on the WPR Network. I'm Larry Mueller.